All right, everybody, thank you for joining us for another episode of A Perfect Blend. Customer retention. This is where we look at wonderful ways to continue to increase our profits through repeat customer sales. My name is Dr. Paul McNeil, and today we have Ephraim from Caribbean Seasonings, the mother of all seasonings. This is his passion project, and he's planning on using this as a way of bringing Haitian culture to the global stage and ensuring that the long-standing tradition of Haitian cuisine is never lost. Very excited to be here with you, Ephraim. He said that
Absolutely.
his guilty pleasure show is The Simpsons. All right, everybody. So right before I ask you a couple questions, Ephraim, I wanted to just let everybody know that this is a fun conversation between two people that like to think big. Okay, this is a brainstorming kind of exercise that will happen later on. This is in no way an admission that we will be working on a project now or in the future. This is not legally any kind of binding, whatever. We're just having a fun conversation. You all know I got to get that out there before we get going, because at the later part of this conversation, we will be applying my cube approach to customer retention and repeat customer sales, where we blend customer experience, usable security, voice technology, and data-driven experiments to try to grow customer retention. We call it our cube method, CUVE. And if you know what that is in wine, cuve is where it's basically it's a wine vat, right? And so in a wine vat, you get the perfect blend of wines. In our cuve framework, we try to optimize our customer journeys and have the perfect interdisciplinary blend of approaches so that we're able to get a beautiful customer journey and increase revenue on the other side. All right. All right. So enough about my stuff. Let's get into it. Ephraim, first things first, tell us about you and how you ended up starting the Caribbean Seasonings.
Perfect. Thank you, Dr. Paul, for having me on your show today. I'm super excited. So the way that it started, after graduating college, I realized that I didn't necessarily want to be a lawyer. Kind of rewind a little bit. I graduated with a degree in political science, have a minor in history, and I was studying for the LSAT. It was pretty cool because I won a Kaplan tutorship at the University of Alabama. I thought that this was the path that was carved out for me. I was following one of my brother's footsteps. And then it got to a point as I was studying for the LSAT that I realized this isn't really for me. I don't really want to do this. Getting out of college, my friends would tell you that I'm not in a shortage of bravado. I always have this, I would say, irrational confidence, right? All the time. There's never been a challenge that, because there's I come from a very athletic background, right? I used to play a lot of sports in high school, and I've always was able to either meet or exceed the goals that I've set for myself. So that carried along with me. Once I graduated college, I realized I just did this great accomplishment. This is cool. What's next, right? What am I going to produce that's going to leave a mark on the world? One morning, I was at my parents' house, a light bulb switch. I seen my mom making this thing called Ippies. My mom literally makes the best Ippies. That's not hyperbole. That's just a statement of fact,
You
right?
got evidence. You have evidence now.
We have evidence. We have evidence. My mom makes the best Ippies. And since we were kids, I've noticed that people used to come to our house, either ask for some Ippies or my mom would sell them offhand. And it was at that moment where our two worlds collided, right?
Real quick, for those who are not of a Caribbean background, what is Epis?
Perfect. Ippies is an all natural vegetable based seasoning. It's you can anything that you put salt in, you would use Ippies. Ippies makes your food, it elevates your food to a level that master chefs or Michelin star chefs just get jealous because the secret is out. They all use Ippies, right?
Very
So
nice.
that's what Ippies is, right? Ippies is a better version of salt. So my mom was making Ippies, right? And it clicked to me that if my mom makes Ippies and we use it literally for everything, that means other Haitian folks use Ippies for everything. Wait a minute, Haitian folks been doing this for years. there's a market for it. There has to be a market for it. Without doing a lot of R&D or anything, just a hunch, just a gut feeling. Like I'm channeling my greatest Oprah impression. Just a gut feeling. And I decided to go out, build a product. I got in touch with someone who was already selling product in Chicago. He kind of helped me create this framework for how to launch a product, how to go to market. We went into a couple of stores and found success. We started off at a $10 price point wholesale, and that roughly came about to $15 in stores for a 16-ounce jar. 16 ounces is no, it's about the same size as a peanut butter jar, and we sold out. So the first store we went into, we sold out, came again, sold out again, and we've been in this store since 2017, and 16 stores since then, and we're only growing. So that's where we are. Little to no marketing. If what the shadow that we're currently chasing is Goya. If you know Goya products, the way that they started, there were a husband and wife who were selling their canned items, and their marketing strategy was word of mouth. Folks would just, they'll just go back to folks in the neighborhood, and folks would tell other folks about, hey, this is really good. You got to try this. You got to try that. And that's how it kind of caught fire. And we're seeing that we're almost along the same trajectory, where without too much influence or without too much push on trying to connect people to the idea that this is a need that they need to fill because it makes their lives easier, that it's just a natural fit. So in some ways, I find myself to be incredibly lucky. In some ways, I think of myself as carrying a burden of a responsibility, a cultural responsibility, because again, this is a Haitian tradition. This is how we've cooked our food forever. And this is how, and then I noticed that other Caribbean cultures also use ippies. They just call it differently. Some call it sofrito, some call it green seasoning. We call ours Caribbean seasoning. It's the mother of all seasoning. This is, we're no longer just representatives of Haiti. We're representatives of the islands, the Caribbean, trying to bring that to the global stage, making sure that we make our mark, letting people know that Caribbean food is here to stay and the culture will never be lost. Not as
Let's
long as I'm
go.
around.
Let's go. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. So, fun fact, my mom is from Trinidad, so I'm 100%
Hey,
behind this culture. Yeah, for sure.
Trinidad.
You know that grease seasoning hits, it hit home, hit home. So no, I love that. So, all right, before we go too far, I want to jump back a bit. So you mentioned that you knew someone who was already selling products. So, and you said that he kind of gave you a framework. I don't want you to give like all of your secret sauce of how you got going, but one, how did you pick your first store? And then how did you decide to approach that first store? Because I know there are some people who have an idea and they're just like, how do I, like, what are my first steps? Because it doesn't sound like you went and did like a bunch of research. You didn't put up like a bunch of flyers and landing pages. It sounds like you kind of just went in. So how did you know who to talk to? Like, who did you pick? All of that good stuff. Like, just that first.
Yeah, no, great question. So the secret man that I'm mentioning from the beginning, I don't even know his name. I was connected to him through a friend, and he kind of gave me the framework of what I would need, the licenses that I would need in order to sell into stores. When I went to talk to the first store, I met this one store owner. I'm gonna leave him, I'm gonna let him be anonymous, but super helpful. He's one of my mentors to this day. And he was just like, look, Ephraim, I love having new product in my store, right? So it was a hunch, but it was a good hunch because it was in a Haitian community. Predominantly, it was a predominantly Haitian community in Central Florida. It was like, I love putting new product in my store. Are you able to do this, this, and this, and this? This, and this was making sure that the UPC was on this side, making sure that the nutritional facts was all valid information, all that good stuff. That the ingredients were consistent with what was inside the jar. 100% got it. We did all that. We filled everything out that we needed to. We got into the store, and that's the first way that we got into the store. And since then, he's continuously gave me tips and pointers on these are the people that you need to talk to. This is how you need to talk to those people. I remember the first time, because I used to do paper invoices. The first time I was filling out an invoice, it wasn't even the first guy that I mentioned earlier today, before. It was another store owner. He was like, no, that's not how you fill it out. Fill it out like this. So like along the way, I these people don't even know like that they've helped me so much to this point, but those are the kind of things that actually help plateau us to where we are today, 5 years It's been 5 years, right? Like 2017.
17, does, yeah, I
Yeah,
mean,
it's wow.
it's
Yeah.
we're into we're in October 2020, so yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, it's my
Yeah.
baby. Yeah,
Wow,
my
yeah,
baby's helped raise it.
your baby's starting kindergarten this year. Let's go.
Right.
That's what's up. No, listen, that is an amazing story. And then I did want to ask you about Simpson. Why do you think of it as your The Simpsons? Why do you think of it as your guilty pleasure show? Is that your show that when it, you know, it's time to unwind, you don't care what's going on, this we're gonna watch this every week type kind of deal, or?
Yeah, it's more like every day, right? The
Okay.
Simpsons has been on since forever.
Yeah.
Since we were kids, because I'm a 90s kid, right?
Yeah.
Since we were kids, my brothers and sisters and I, we used to watch it every single day on Fox in the afternoons. And when the new episodes would come out on Sundays, we would gather around and watch it. And initially, I kind of saw myself through the eyes of Bart. Right, because I tend to think that characters in shows we pick up on their personality traits. If you want to know, like I'm a combination between Bart, Jerry Seinfeld, Will Smith. These are the characters that kind of like, or Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, pre-slap.
For sure, for sure. Pre-slap, pre-slap.
Pre-slap. Will was the goat. He's still the goat, but he has some therapy to go through.
He's
But
a slightly handicapped goat. He's a wounded goat.
He's a
Wounded goat.
wounded goat, but but there's redemption for him as well. But yeah, so these are the kind of characters, Kobe, these are the kind of characters that make up my personality. But yeah, but Bart Simpson, thought he was hilarious, mischievous, from the prank phone calls, like I'm looking for a Mr. Bend Rover. He'll always piss off Mo. Like for the Simpsons heads, they know about this, right? Like that's who I am. That's why I just love the Simpsons. It brings me back to that nostalgic state of mind. And I have Disney Plus, so I watch it whenever I can.
Hey, I hear you, bro. I hear you. I love that. I love stories in shows too. Like, I'm honestly glad I'm on this side of the question because I'm not sure what I would put as my guilty pleasure show to keep it 100. I probably could sit down with someone and have a different guilty pleasure show. Like, I just really love good stories. I like good character development and really solid arcs. I think right now, maybe I would say Rick and Morty. It's kind of like this
Nice,
weird, quirky kind of thing. It
yeah.
gives me like American Doctor Who vibes for those of you who watch Doctor Who. And so I like that. And then it also combines that like Family Guy sense of humor in there as well, that edgy kind of, you know, slick stuff that you got to think twice about to really catch. You might have to rewatch an episode. So I think maybe that would be what that's what I'll say for today. And I also thought it was really interesting. You mentioned how you feel like Kobe Bryant is kind of a bit of your personality as well. Like you have some of
Huge.
those characteristics. So I became, I mean, in the early 2000s and stuff when Kobe was really doing his thing, like any young basketball player in America, I also was a fan of Kobe, right? I didn't even care about the Lakers for real, you feel me? But it was like Kobe or Shaq is out here, you know, where I'm out there doing my little and one moves and my and one sneakers and feeling like, you know, I'm gonna go to the league. Was not going to the league. But I kind of maybe a few months to a year before his unfortunate death, his accident, I actually discovered a lot of his business stuff on YouTube. So, and a lot of the interviews he was doing where he was talking about the mentality behind how he was approaching sports and his career. And I've always been more on the academic side. I didn't play a lot of organized sports. So for me, it was like, yo, there's a lot of like critical thought that's going on in not only the training of your body, but in the strategy and things of that nature. And I had friends who used to hoop and stuff, but I didn't have anyone who I thought took, you know, sports even that seriously, where it was like, hey, I had a hit list from 13. I was like, I'm gonna take 4 years or 5 years to get better. And so these different things. So when he died, it was around the time that I was really delving into just creating voice apps, right? Like I had been doing the marketing stuff, but voice was still something that was pretty new to me. So I think like the one of the It was one of the things that I made, actually made a Alexa skill where you can ask Alexa to hear Kobe quotes and stuff like that, and then you would start just saying different quotes that I had found and I put in there to you, and you could get these quotes. Because for me, those are like those inspirational things. Those are like my little energy packs when things were getting really crazy and hectic. I'd be like, nah, I gotta stay focused, gotta move this kind of way, gotta push forward, have that Mamba mentality, but for
Mamba
business. So
mentality.
I truly love that piece. So it's really interesting to hear you say that for sure. Now
Wait,
we're
before
gonna
you
go
move
into the
on,
here, sure.
I know you mentioned it, and I hate to ruin your cadence, but
No, you're
before
good,
you,
you're good.
if you're into dramas, right? There's a show called Primal on HBO. I'm not sure if
Okay.
you, Primal, the writers are geniuses.
Okay.
The characters rarely talk. It's a cartoon, but
Oh,
the
wow.
storyline is amazing. And I think that like I'm one of the best critics when it comes down to shows. Primal is a really good show. Really
Okay,
good
I'll
show.
check it out. I've seen like promotion for it here and there, and I just haven't taken the time to check it out. So I will definitely take that. I will check it out. And if it's bad, y'all, on a later episode, I'm gonna roast him. No, I'm playing.
Roast
But
me, roast me.
I'm gonna light it up. I'll be like,
Remember
I watched Primal. No, but
that Kobe
I'll
commercial?
definitely
I
check
hate you. I hate you. Yeah, like yeah,
it
that's how I am. Like, right? Let me have it.
Yeah. No, I love it. So yeah, so no, I thank you for that. And I'm definitely going to make a note to put it higher on my catch up list for sure. But now is the segment where we're going to go into the brainstorming session. And so this is going to be where we kind of think about real things that you're facing. A lot of times brands we talk to are direct to consumer type brands. You're more of a B2B right now. I know you said you're considering direct to consumer at some point, but right now you're B2B. But I still want to do this because I have done some B2B work and I think that you could still make it hot. So, we're gonna think about just different things and see if there's some kind of a touch point in your customer journey, your process where people are interacting with you and your brand, where we might be able to incorporate some voice that will help. A lot of people use chatbots to take care of customer service, or they'll do like pre-recorded lines, IVR. So to up the difficulty, because I like challenges and you're a competitor, we're gonna remove those. So we're not allowed to do pure chatbots, and we're not allowed to just focus only on that customer experience, because I feel like that's the easy way out that everyone easily goes, yeah, this is how we'll do that. And so once again, this is not an admission that he is going to be working with me, or that we will be working in the future or currently or any of that stuff. And we're not going to get too into proprietary stuff because I don't have money like that, y'all. I mean, I'm doing okay, but I don't need lawsuits. All right. We try to keep it all 100%. And we want to make sure that you're able to grow and spread the mission of Caribbean Seasonings as far as possible. All right. So the first thing that I normally ask at this point would be to think about maybe your two biggest real like pain points that you could think of as far as your customers. And in your case, you're an interesting kind of B2B, right? Because you go to the stores, but then you still have consumer clients kind of they're indirect though, right? So I guess the first question would be, do you want to think about something indirect? Or do you want to think about your direct customers? Because we could go either way. Kind of
We
like
can
one or two, like with glasses, you know?
do the indirect.
Okay. All right, cool. So let's go indirect. So now, by indirect, for those of you listening, you know, that is the person who's actually going to pick his item up off of the shelf. All right. So we're going to focus on that for right now. Cool. Let's make it hot. The second thing that I'll talk about is as far as level. We do two ways. We can talk about whether it's the range, like some kind of realistic budgetary range, or we can talk about like your priority, high, medium, low, as far as making these kinds of changes, because that's going to affect what kind of things we can, what I'll think about, you'll think about, what makes sense, as far as what you can afford, right? There's no point. I mean, we can do high end all the way, but that doesn't seem practical to me. So what do you think in there?
So I'll go with priority. Let's think.
Okay, let's
Think
go with
about
priority. Cool. Okay, so what are some things that are maybe medium to high level priority for
So,
you as far as that indirect consumer or customer?
yeah, great question. Capturing a new customer base, or so currently, one of our greatest competitors, just for a little bit more background information, is Sofrito, right?
Okay.
We are we master the Haitian, the Jamaican, the Trinidadian demographic. They understand it. But as we're looking to educate the customer, which is another hurdle, about how Ippies is the same as Sofrito, it's engaging the Hispanic culture and understanding that, capturing a lot of that audience. So that would be priority number one when it comes down to our business.
Okay. This is interesting. Okay, so we're thinking about focusing on that particular market. Could you say it again? You said the which market?
The Hispanic
The
market.
Hispanic market. Okay. For those of you from my West Coast, that's the Latinx community. And so we want to capture that market, and we're thinking about how can we do something as far as education. Okay, cool. And so I'm thinking about different things. So when we think about education, and I like to start kind of, let's think about what you're already doing. What are you already doing, in this particular vein?
So one thing that we're actually doing is providing free samples, going into the stores and physically providing free samples so folks can taste the Ippies and begin to understand it that way. We want to create a more efficient engine where we increase our social presence online, through educating the customer and letting them know without actually needing to physically taste it, but know that this is something that they can connect with because this is what they currently are using.
Gotcha. Okay. So, I like that, the social education piece, because what I've seen too is whenever education happens and you're doing like that one-to-one social is so great for allowing you to scale that process and save time, right? So the time you might take in person, what do you do when you're in person taste testing? Like, how are you creating dishes in the store? Are you doing kind of like those try this sample and they're cooking it? How are you doing your sampling?
So that's another good question. Ippies is unique in the fact where you can actually just taste Ippies. Some people eat the Ippies without even
Yeah.
cooking it. Like they just eat it with bread, right? Because it smells good, tastes good.
Okay.
Yeah. So we just let
So they
them
just
taste
kind
the
of
raw.
spread it out and make it happen. So you just have a, hey, taste this. See, can you put this on your seasoning? They'll be like, ah, we down, we in there.
Or
Okay.
they literally just get a little cup, taste it with a spoon. Oh, we love it. Give us 2 jars.
Let's go. I love that. And I love that conversion rate. Like 1 to 2 jars. I love it. I love
Right.
it. Okay. So what are you thinking currently as far as your social media plan, as far as your education? What are you all currently looking at?
So what we're looking at is creating a knowledge base, an interactive knowledge base, where I know that you mentioned chatbots are not an option. Luckily, I am partnering with a tech company called Stonely. So this is a shameless plug where they create interactive knowledge bases that they're vehemently opposed to the whole idea of chatbots, right? We're realizing that more and more customers are wanting self-service support. And to really rev up that customer education piece is having the ability to have either videos on how to use how to use Ippies, to recipes, quick understandings, like the origin story of the Caribbean. So that's kind of where we're leaning towards when it comes down to solving that particular issue.
Okay. And you said that they're against chatbots. So what kind of stuff are they like? Do they do like online portals, like self things, or do they focus on like your YouTube type stuff, or they have some special thing that they do? They sell like software.
No. So this is directly attached to your site, right? So
Okay.
as on your website, when you go to your help center, it's an interactive help center, or a lot of the features and functionalities they provide actually almost as if it gamifies your site. creating a handheld user experience. It eliminates a lot of that confusion because oftentimes what you're finding is that, like, when folks come to your page, their number one issue is the fact that either they don't know how to navigate through it or they don't know how to find the information, right? They're either frustrated or confused. And this is a way to ensure that you can mitigate a lot of your business anxiety by allowing your customer to come in, find the solution that they need when they need it. And not only that, but you can also create like many suggestions, right? Because for us, as we're thinking about capturing more of the Hispanic or the Caribbean Hispanic community, it's priority number one for us to have those guides, or because we also do guides and things of that nature. Guides are a great way to, rather than have a traditional knowledge base with static articles, let's go ahead and condense that into more digestible chunks for our customers, ensuring that they can click through and find the step-by-step guidance that they need. So that's how we're looking to really target and help that community when it comes down to understanding who we are and the value prop that we can actually make your life a lot easier, because this is something that you're currently using and we're the best at making it. So
Love it. Okay. All right. I like this. So I was thinking along the lines of something that was interactive, not necessarily a chat bot. So one of the things I was thinking about is something like a voice activated experience that would pull up these various resources, right? So something that could guide you through maybe each step of a recipe. So my thoughts are like maybe some kind of like a recipe kind of thing, and maybe even something that people can engage with after purchase, so like a post-purchase education as well. So maybe they tried something, or they came to your site and went through that interactive thing, and then you go, hey, if you're thinking about doing these recipes and so forth, your hands are going to be in the mix. So what if you're able to use the voice to navigate through these guides on how to use the Epice in these particular dishes, right? And so that's something that I'm thinking about. I think that that would be kind of cool, especially if they have an Alexa device that has a screen on it, because then the video can come up, and they can watch it, replay it, things like that. If they have even a Fire Stick, Fire TVs and Fire Sticks are basically just Alexa devices. They're just really big. People don't always know that, but they could also go and navigate through it that way if they wanted to. I've seen some success with that in the What did she do? She did like the home gardening. One of the clients that I've worked with in the past did home gardening. And so what she would do with her skills, she was already making a lot of this content for her YouTube channel. And what we did was we took those videos, those step-by-step videos, and we broke them up and put them in a way where you could talk to Alexa. You could search through the various guides that she had. If you had a device that had a screen, you would get the video version. If you had a device that was just audio, then you would get the audio version and maybe some pictures that would show up on your phone so that you could look at it and be freehand and say next step, previous step, that kind of thing. So I think that that might be something that's really interesting. To do. It lets you get some of that really cool information from them as they're working on things. Maybe you have smaller call to actions as well that keep them engaged. Like, hey, you started this recipe and maybe it's been a few months. You're like, hey, do you need some more? Would you like to order it, right now with Alexa, stuff like that. So there's like other add-ons. I always like to think of any kind of voice experience as its own funnel. So like you have your regular funnel, but once you get them in there and you get them engaged, so that's one of the more practical ways that we've worked on with in the gardening and planning space. And I think that that would make some sense as far as like with what you're doing. I don't know, is anything that I'm not thinking about or anything that was making you think like, oh, maybe kind of
Yeah, so I like where you're headed. One thing that I would mention is the fact that that particular marketing strategy is contingent on two factors, and that's assuming that the demographic that I'm currently looking to target or embrace has an Amazon Alexa or a Fire Stick device, right? Because I want to know how will we be able to optimize voice if the consumer doesn't have those two devices, or is it only if they have those devices, then we can produce set quality marketing for them. And if that's the case, right, that's segment. So I like to think in segmentation, right?
Sure.
Or niching. That segments down the pool of people that I can actually interact with when it comes down to these voice activated, whether it's guides and recipes, that segments them down even more. So how would I solve that particular issue
Sure.
if my whole idea is to build a monopoly, right? I know that's what
Yeah,
they do,
for
but
sure.
build a
No.
monopoly and capture as many folks as
No,
possible.
respect, man. No, absolutely. So one of the things that I think would be really interesting, and I'm glad you asked that question. And yeah, I didn't even share this before, but first they've done the studies and it shows that like 1 in 4 US adults usually have some kind of smart speaker device already. More than likely it's going to be an Alexa device. They own the market share right now. And Black and Brown US adults are actually like a higher percentage. Like they're more likely than any other segment of the population in the US to actually own these devices. And I don't know if it's just because like we have that vibrato as cultures where we just want to stun on people, so we just get them, but we are more likely to own than like any other segments. So that's as far as the pervasiveness, it's still a quite a large community and it's still growing. And they also recently did a study, I want to say a couple months back, where they showed that like if people didn't already have one, of the people that didn't, it was like a third of people, a third of US adults had one, another third were intending to get one. And so there was like the smaller population that was just like, I'm not trying to deal with any kind of smart speaker device. So that's from that standpoint. So I think that yes, it would be segmentation for sure. If we focus on Alexa, I generally focus on Alexa first just because they have such a large market share. Then the second part is if they don't have those devices, any phone, Android or Siri, you can just download the Alexa app on there and it will, there's like a widget now and you just use it on there. So it's still on your phone and it doesn't cost anything. And also, people are often more likely to download like an Alexa app or some kind of a voice assistant on their phone than they will a specific app for a brand, right? Like, 'cause you'll be like, oh, I don't want to give all my space. But if you, a lot of the positive with these voice things is that most of it is done in the cloud. So you really download one thing, but you've downloaded like a million different apps kind of deal. You know what I mean? But you would have to segment. So segmenting would be something. There is a large segment, but it would be something there. And then the other piece is that when you create these voice experiences, the user experience within your voice experience doesn't often change from platform to platform. The code might change, but you're still going to interact with that voice assistant fairly similarly. Now, for Apple and for Google, Google recently changed to where, because in the past I'd have been like, just make a Google Assistant. Now you're good. You're on Android and whatever. But Google recently made it to where you can only make something for their voice assistant if it's an extension of a mobile application that you already have. I don't know how long that will last. But yeah, so to answer your question, yes, you would have a segment. The segment would probably be larger than you think. Even if they don't have those devices, you could have them just simply download it and they can hit the button on their widget and still interact with that experience. And then two, if you broaden out and make it across various platforms, the experiences won't necessarily have to change, even if maybe some of the code base needs to change or be modified.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Now I like to make up terms, right? So I don't
Sure.
know if this is a term, technologify, right?
Yeah.
Or modernize the product.
Sure.
I'm thinking, so if I had a QR code on each
Yep.
and every jar, and I wanted the folks to click on that QR code or scan it, would it then be able to launch an Alexa voice prompted message that way directly with?
Yeah, so they have these things, and because you're asking me, I can't remember the name for it. I want to say it's called a quick launch, but I could be wrong, or quick link. But you actually have a link that you can have them scan, it will go directly to it. And in as soon as they go to it, it will say like, do you want to install this now or do you want to be reminded to like activate it later? But it like it comes up, they hit a button and they're like in there. So they do have that capability with the quick launch for Alexa. The other thing that I've also noticed too is just by saying something like say Alexa and then that phrase, like so if you have the QR code and maybe right above it, you go like say Alexa, it's as such to get recipes. People who have it now, there's no barrier. They don't even have to pick up their phone to do the scan. They just be like, hey Alexa, XYZ, because they just read it. So if you were thinking about it from a QR standpoint, the very little modification, just add those instruction that instructional phrase. And depending on the phrase you use, not only will it take them right in there, you might even be able to, not the instructional phrase. Yeah. Depending on the instructional phrase you use, you can take them to different parts of your voice experience. So where it might be on the packaging, that might take them to the general intro to it. Maybe you're doing some kind of an ad or a flyer on your digital physical type of advertising, and you might have them go to a very specific recipe because you are focused on a very targeted area. Hey, if you're looking for the way to make the best fill in a specific food, say Alexa, ask Caribbean Seasonings about such and such, and it will go directly to that recipe, or it will go directly to maybe the story behind that food, something like that.
I like it.
Yeah, so no, these are really great questions, and I thank you for that because I don't always get to share any stats, and so I appreciate that question. It's a very very good question. I love it. A lot of times we are assuming that we're focusing on that population that is doing that, or that is utilizing that Amazon Alexa experience, and that may not be the focus for every brand initially. One other fun fact that I learned recently is that as far as it comes for using that, the age group, the number one age demographic is like 25 to 34 for these smart speakers and stuff like that, followed by the 64, 65 plus community, and then it's the 18 to 24. Surprising. I saw that the other, I was like, yo, what? I did not see that coming.
Way to go, 65 and not. I appreciate
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, and then, but then I thought about it, and I was like thinking about how much my dad is 65 up, and how much he uses like Siri, right? And how much he was very resistant to voice assistants in the beginning, but now it's like, but okay, I'm a '90s kid, so I came up, and I'm a little bit older than you, so I came up when like teenagers didn't have cell phones unless they were drug dealers. Okay, so.
Beepers.
Exactly, right? So you're like, you have a cell phone, you are clearly doing something wrong with your life because you have a cell phone at 13, okay? And so basically around that time, like even when I was getting ready to start college, text messages used to be boys and girls, younger audience listeners, used to have to pay to send and receive separately. So depending on who you were with, you were paying 5 cents to send, 5 cents to receive, or up to 25 cents to send and receive. So when they started doing unlimited text messaging plans, and I went to my dad about this, he was not down. He was like, if you can't talk to them, then you should probably be focusing on whatever it is you're doing and talk to these people later. Now he texts all the time. He had that same energy for voice assistants. So it totally makes sense to me that that audience is starting to grow, especially as lockdown has happened. More people have had time at home and they start playing with these devices that they had in their house. So it makes sense. Also, the increase of voice enabled purchasing has like increased a bunch. I think like it's up to like $22 billion or something in sales, and it's like one of the top reasons people use their assistant now is like reordering things and stuff like that.
Wow, so I may be dating myself as well. So,
Sure.
from your standpoint, just like, 'cause I remember when text became big as well, and folks were just, I personally thought that was super weird. Like, why are
Yeah.
you like writing me an essay? Why can't we
Yeah,
just
yeah.
talk on the phone?
Right.
But you're seeing the voice interactive activated messaging in the same line as what text did to the phone. Is that the next big innovation? Is that where you're seeing the progression going?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I think you're seeing it being, Would I even say like maybe bigger than that? Because it's crossing bounds, right? So you're seeing voice act like even if you get like an Oculus, right? The metaverse, right? Even to get into certain things, you don't always have to use the hand things. You could just say, "Hey, Facebook, do XYZ." So it's pervasive in a lot of different things. You talk about a lot of mobile searches. I forgot what the exact number is. I want to say even 2 years ago, like or up to last year, like it was like a quarter of mobile searches were voice. Like, and so now a lot of people are putting stress on voice search engine optimization. So making sure that you set your website up so that it's optimized so that when Google crawls your site, they start thinking about you as an answer to specific questions. And so that's why I also like that Alexa from like in just an SEO standpoint, because if somebody just says, "Hey, Alexa, what's a good seasoning to use on XYZ or how do I make XYZ?" Alexa's gonna go through. I want to say Alexa uses Bing as default and not Google search engine. So you have that competition of like, are you going to be on that top spot? But Google, Alexa will also search for like skills or voice apps that have like indications. I'll call them indications or indicators that they answer this type of question. And so then they might pull from your skill, say like, "Hey, you know, this is a suggested app that talks about XYZ," and now people are coming in from outside as well. So I see this being something. I think we still haven't figured out how to make it, or they haven't made it 1,000% seamless yet. But Google has some strides where, like, even if you optimize your website using voice SEO, it will increase your chances of being suggested if you ask Google Voice Assistant for something, right? So yeah, I think that it's already pretty big. I think that we don't always realize how big it is just because we speak in general. Like we just talk to things now. Like the TV, you know, on the wall, you probably have a button where you can talk to it. That's voice.
Yeah, the wheels are turning. They're
Yeah.
definitely turning.
Cool. Listen, I appreciate your time. I know we went a little bit over. I thank you so much. But the wheels turning is a great thing, and hopefully our listeners' wheels are turning as well. As you know, we really love to brainstorm these things. So just a quick summary takeaway of our brainstorming session. We might create something where our Caribbean seasons, not we might as in I'm actually going to do it. Remember, it's a hypothetical, everybody. I
Nick,
don't want
that's my
you to
lawyer. Nick, that's my lawyer. Let's get on him. That
assume.
sounds like a commitment to me.
Not a commitment, not a commitment. In all seriousness, though, I think that, you know, the takeaway here is something that would be interesting to someone who is selling to other businesses to then put their products on the shelf and focus on that education piece might be figuring out a way to make that interactive act content, making your educational content interactive, maybe through some kind of guided, in your case, a recipe, or if it was some other product, maybe some kind of guided use cases, maybe something that has to do with the background, complementary dishes, complementary products, and then utilizing people relying on that particular funnel to be able to insert some little upsells, create some kind of regular purchasing and reordering. As we're seeing, those are the behaviors that are starting to increase in that space. Did I kind of sum it up in a way that made sense?
Perfect.
All
Perfect.
right, awesome. So once again, thank you so much. Before we go, I do want to give you the opportunity to share something. Maybe it's something personal, like a personal passion. Maybe it's for your business, just something that you would like to, you know, put out there for the listeners.
Yeah, one thing that I do want to put out for the listeners and the universe is personal accountability is everything. Not too long ago, I celebrated my 30th birthday
Oh,
and
happy birthday, belated.
appreciate it, appreciate it. And one thing that I've realized is that a lot of the outcomes that I've found in my life are in direct correlations with the choices that I've decided to make. And that's what I really want to empower people with, is the gift of choice. You have the ability to choose which path that you want to take, when you want to take it, and how you want to take it. These are things that are critically important into as you begin to construct the memoirs or the building that is your life, right? I like to liken myself as a carpenter who's working constantly on improving every aspect of me, right? Because this is the experience of the human being. We are our own greatest creations, and the ability to continue to self-create, to self-motivate, to self-move, to innovate, to bring value to the world, that is something that we all have inside of us. And I want everyone to remember that it all starts with one, personal accountability. And you cannot change the world unless you change yourself. Not saying that I've changed the world or I'm on that path, but I do know that I constantly evolve. I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly changing. And I just want to continue to spread that message and give that gift to the next generation or the generation before.
Listen, that's a close, y'all. I don't really got anything else to say. So we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up, and hopefully you'll join us for another episode of A Perfect Blend. Thank you.